So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, one of the things I really enjoy about hosting this program is that we get to highlight many Wisconsin authors. And today it's an author whose debut novel had me laughing and crying as well more than once. Vivian Probst is a Wisconsin author. First published novel is Death by Roses. She worked through the grief of losing her sister in Lou Gehrig's disease as she wrote this novel. And the story about submitting to the her manuscript to When Words Count Retreats literary competition, I think, is almost makes for a great story in and of itself. She joins us from our WPR studios in Milwaukee. Vivian, welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, and thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you, Larry. I am over the moon about being on this show today.
Well, I tell you what, it is so great to have you with us. I read your book, and I so enjoyed it. And I thought, I've just got to have her on the show.
It is a trip, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness me, a trip. It certainly is. I really enjoyed the book, and I had to laugh when I was reading somewhere when your husband said, "Publish the damn book."
Oh, it was his mantra for years. I finally got so frustrated at him, I did.
Well, we should tell that story a little bit before we get into the book itself. You started this book after your sister died.
Yes. Yeah.
And the book was, I don't know if inspiration is the right word for it, but it was to help you deal maybe with the death of your sister?
Yeah, very much so. I'd been writing stories for a number of years, and I was in such a state of grief and shock, even though, as you know, Lou Gehrig's takes time.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to grieve, and this story just showed up. I think I had a muse somewhere saying, oh, she needs a story to write. And the amazing thing was, it turns out to be a romantic comedy.
Yes.
I was just flabbergasted.
And you had no idea that that was the way the book was going to turn out.
Oh, absolutely not. When I was writing, it was like I was listening and watching a story. No plot. The characters showed up. Some I loved, some I didn't. But the whole story just came to me, and it did take me 5 years. But oh, what I just think it's just been such a gift to write this and for other people to get the joy of reading it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, this was a kind of an amazing trip for you. You won a publishing trifecta, I think, in 2013 with this. And explain that. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah. It's called Wow, We Nailed It. I am a first-time published author. And really, Larry, it's so true that in the winter of 2012, my husband had been watching me write this for so long that he finally started his mantra, you know, publish the damn book. So I got so frustrated, and granted, 5 years, he deserves a break from my writing, right? So I got on the internet, and I typed in Winter Writing Conference, and When Words Count Retreat was the first one to show up. So in my, my naivete, I just called them. I called several places, and they said, well, yeah, we'll help you. We work with first-time publishers, and they're out in Vermont. So I want you to picture this, that in a snowy, beautiful January, we arrive in the mountains of Vermont at this winter, it's an inn, and they have a chef on staff. They're really there to help first-time writers get published.
Wow.
Now, what is that? Is magic, miracle, whatever you call it, and they put my story into their competition.
And you won.
Woo!
And we're not talking about small change here.
No. No, this was, we were actually judged by the New York publisher, the New York literary agent, and the PR firm that was going to award one of these stories, this trifecta of three prizes. Here, we'll publish your book. Here, we'll promote your book. And here's a literary agent for you, all wrapped up into one prize. Woo! I still can hardly believe it.
It's absolutely amazing. But your book is amazing. I mean, it's an amazing story.
Thank you.
I wondered if the, and I assume that the main character in your book, Mayrose McElroy,
yes.
Had some similarities to your sister.
Yes. And but and I have to say, so do all of the women in our family, going back years and years. She was very confident of what her path was and her purpose, and she was also confident of what other people's paths and purposes were, in a way that sometimes was a little bit, oh, what's the word? What's the nice way to say it? A little bit bossy, a little bit, you know, I just know what you need, and I am here to help you, you know. And we do it with great compassion, and we're very, very good at helping our husbands when we realize that they need to change. That's also, that goes way back in our family line, let me tell you. And so this story taught me so much, you can imagine, because I saw a whole different way to engage in my marriage because of May Rose's lack of success in her own, which is the heartbeat of the story.
It definitely is. I really thought it was so much fun that you look at the comedic side of death and otherworldly events, as you put it, I think.
Well, that, you know, again, I just listened and observed. And, you know, Larry, I have a lifelong issue with death. I mean, from the day my parents taught me, now I lay me down to sleep, you know, mm-hmm. and if I should die before I wake, you know, I had this preoccupation with this horrible, horrible thing called death. So I thought it was just stunning that I got to see a vision of something that is kind of fun. And I got to see that what happens if you get there, there's kind of a revolving door that if you violate the only protocol in the next realm, which is do not meddle with the life of people on Earth, which Mayrose does in spades, yes?
Yes, for sure.
Oh, she is a winner. That you actually can be asked to leave the higher realms, and Mayrose ends up back on Earth in what Mayrose would probably call hell, which is the body of another very bossy woman. And so these two women are having to figure out what they're going to do. And in the meantime, you see, without giving too much away, Mayrose got a gift in her afterlife. Yeah. She got a chance to see what it could have been.
What it could have been.
Yeah.
And it's and just to back up from that slightly, she dies in a terrible way.
Yeah.
Her husband in the first place, Art, wasn't it? Art, his name is.
Yes.
Art. He's trying to do a good deed.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
I'm laughing as I think about it. He's got these dozen roses and all kinds of things happen, and it essentially irritates her to death.
It does. I mean, they've got 30 years of being increasingly unhappy with each other, and I'm sure that doesn't happen to anyone else. But he tries finally to make a gesture of love, and as fate would have it, it gets misinterpreted to the point that May Rose is just, it's the last straw for her. And she dies of a heart attack on the toilet. Yeah. Larry, I have to tell you, I've heard so many stories of people who have experienced or know of someone who's experienced that. So it's it leads to all kinds of interesting conversations. Ones I never thought I would have.
Well, and the funny part is that then when she's off to heaven, she's mortified by the fact that she died on the toilet.
Yes, and of course the whole
thing tells you about gives you an insight into her.
Yes, because she's such a perfectionist. She always wants people to think that she has the perfect life, even though she doesn't, and she works so hard on it. So it is rather humorous where she dies and her concern as she's leaving life and her need to argue, to say, no, I can't be dead. I can't be dead. My family needs me. This is, you know, and she just, she can't understand it. Oh.
It reminded us, I had another guest on the show one time, we were talking about death, and he said it was his own mother, who was quite, I think, a lot like your main person, who was on her deathbed making plans and organizing people for the next week.
Yes.
When there was just not going to be a next week for her, but she was refusing to believe that could be the case.
Yeah. Well, it's either that or it's, oh, I have so much to do before it happens, so I've got to get busy. Like Mary Lee Broadmore.
Yes, the other woman in the other primary character in the female character. Well, not the only other.
There are so many characters, Larry. That's how I know I had help, because I don't, all the characters and the plots that weave together in this story, you know, I had help. I had help from something to get it written.
Talking today with Vivian Probst, who is author of Death by Roses. It's a wonderful book, and I'm enjoying talking with her. You can join in our conversation. I haven't even given the number yet. It's 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We're going to take a quick look at the news and weather, and then we will be back with Vivian. You stay with us right here on the Ideas Network. Well, death is a serious and sad part of life, isn't it? But that doesn't mean we can't laugh about it sometimes as well. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Vivian Probst is a Wisconsin author whose first published novel, Death by Roses, she started it after her older sister died of Lou Gehrig's disease in 2008. She, I think, as she was telling us earlier, kind of worked through her grief a little bit for 5 years as she wrote that novel. It deals with love, loss, not missing out on the opportunities that life gives you. And she joins us from our WPR studios in Milwaukee. And Vivian, thank you again for taking time to be with us today. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Yes, it's just a thrill for me to be here. Well, I like radio.
I tell you what, I do too. We have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
And you had a lot of fun with your book. And again, just for those who may be tuning in right now, this book, sort of capsulized the book for us.
The main plot of this book is about a marriage that has deteriorated over 30 years. And in the husband's attempt one time to resolve the growing issues and angst between them, he buys his wife a dozen roses, and you'll have to get the book to find out why and what happens, so that by the time he gets home, his wife dies of outrage and goes into her afterlife and learns a few things about life before death and life after death, kind of disobeys the divine protocol, the no meddling on earth policy. You see, what I learned, Larry, was if someone on earth wants communication, they can have it. But those who are no longer on this plane are not allowed to manipulate. And Mayrose does it, ends up back on earth in what I call hell, which is the dying body of a horror movie producer. by the name of Mary Lee Broadmoor. And I'm not going to tell you what happens, but they both have to figure out what to do because May Rose is going to disappear completely if she can't get out of Mary Lee Broadmoor's body. And it's just hilarious what these two end up doing together to figure this thing out.
Well, I'm trying to think of how did she ever come up with this idea to begin with?
I don't know.
Did it just occur to you, Vivian? Or?
Yeah. You know, I rely on Stephen King and his book on writing because he says stories pretty much write themselves. And my job was just to show up and allow the story to tell itself. And that's how this story came to be. It was listening, even to things I didn't want to listen to, Larry. There's some stuff in there that I would never write. There is some stuff. But, you know, I was given it. I put it in the story. And so that's how it all came to be. And I love the message of the story for anyone who reads it. And it's really my life theme. And that is that you make a difference every day.
You make a difference every day. And I think that is the theme, a wonderful theme. And also, I think it has to, I mean, you must have heard from readers who were moved by the whole idea you know what? I can still change. I can still do things to turn my life around or my relationship with my significant other around.
Yep. I mean, that's what spoke to me the most. And the feedback I get from readers is just mind-boggling. And it's so, what I get and what I think readers are getting is, oh, yeah, every day I impact other people. And I can make that a wonderful opportunity or make it a memory that nobody wants to have. And so as I got the story, boy, let me tell you, it changed everything about how I see everything I do every day. And, Larry, I spend most of my every day teaching tax regulations on an affordable housing program that was created by Congress under the Reagan administration. And so I teach how to comply with those rules and allow people of low income to have safe sanitary housing. I teach those regulations with the same message. Wow, we just all make a huge difference every day. It's just incredible to me.
Well, it's incredible to me. I mean, this is like such a different career, and you're very successful in that career.
Yes, I travel around the country and teach these regulations. And I just have to tell you, it is the most remarkable program that Congress, I think, has ever created, a great public-private partnership that creates affordable housing for people in need all over the country. So you do need an outlet, Larry, you know. You can't just teach tax regulations all day.
No, I was wondering, was there anything in that career that you have that would have helped you in Death by Roses, writing that?
You know, no one's asked me that before, and whenever someone from the industry asks me, oh, is this a, have you got compliance in here, you know, the tax credit compliance in here, I say, oh, not a drop.
No.
But, you know, it is, compliance is all over this story in terms of, you know, you have choices, you make choices, and you can have a wonderful life or a not wonderful life, and you make that decision every day. And so in a way, it's still about, you know, doing the right thing, and mostly it's about loving your life.
Yeah.
Finding things every day to love about your life, even when you don't love your life.
talking with Vivian Probst, author of Death by Roses. You can join in, too. Do you believe, what do you think about life after death? What do you think it'll be like? Have you ever had a near-death experience or something that, or know of someone that maybe changed how you think about your life? And, or an experience of any sort that really changed how you think about your life and the people around you? What do you make sure that... How do you make sure that the people who care about you know how you feel about them?
Mm-hmm.
That is another very important part of this. Let me give the number. It's 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments or your thoughts.
Larry, it's kind of interesting to me, as I was writing, books started coming out about the afterlife, mm-hmm. and movies. And I didn't have access to them while I was writing because I was told I was not permitted to read any of that sort of thing because it might influence the story. But what I'm amazed by is that some of these near-death experiences that have been written about,
yes,
actually, there's, you know, there, it sounds like there might be some level of connection to what I got from the story. And the real thing, if you believe in any of this at all, is I got the message that my sister is doing just fine.
Yeah.
And that was the beautiful piece for me that I just treasure.
Yeah, it's got to be very heartwarming. I don't know if that's the right word or not for you, but the fascinating part of this book, or one of the most fascinating part of this book, is the way that two women try to get along inside of of one body.
Yeah, they're not exactly thrilled to be sharing.
They're opposite people.
Yeah. Yeah, and so really, this had to sort of play out like a movie in my mind for me to be able to even address how certain things would work if there are two people sharing one physical body. And so that's it. I just had to watch what was going on in my mind, because there are issues when you're on... You both have separate purposes, but now you better figure out a way to help each other, or you're never going to get out of this mess. And I love the part, I'll give one little piece, I love the part where they learn how to play rummy.
Yes.
Yes. One body, two different hands holding its own cards, and... And I thought that was hilarious.
I thought, how did she ever come up with this?
And one of them smokes cigars. The other one's never smoked anything in her life, you know. And the root of, one of them loves cats. One of them hates cats. And, what can I say? It's a delightful read, even for me, just to imagine that it's out. And people can get the story anywhere.
You know, the movie industry obviously has to come into play in this book. How did you research, do a lot of research in that area, or how did you research?
Well, that's really up to the literary agent, and there is some work that they're doing to see if that's a possibility. I'm also studying that myself. Getting a movie... produced is another miracle, especially for a first-time writer. So I'm up for it. Even the agents, when I was in this contest, and part of the contest was they personally interviewed you to just see, can you speak well? Can you, you know, perform in public and not clam up? And so they interviewed me rather thoroughly, and they said, well, Vivian, we think you've got a movie. And you know, Larry, I was crushed.
I
was crushed. It's like, well, what about my book? You know. And so, actually, my brother was there with me, and he took me for a walk afterward because I was just grieving because I was afraid my book wasn't going to get published. And he said, "You know, Vivian, yeah, a movie's not the worst thing, honey. You know, just calm down. It was just hilarious. So, yeah, there is work on that front. And, you know, we're approaching it from as many angles as we can. And just don't be surprised. And we have a song, Larry.
You have a song?
We have a song. There's a song in the book that Art writes to May Rose after she's passed, and he realizes what he lost.
Yeah.
And he grieves, and it's called The Richest People in the World. Now, Art and May Rose aren't, okay? They're very frugal people. In fact, in one part in the book, it describes Art as not wanting to pull money out of his wallet because his dollar bills feel like they have razor blades on them, and he just can't part with his money. Anyway, over the course of her absence, he writes this song, and it was recorded Saturday.
Oh!
And it will be downloaded, we hope, yet today or tomorrow. It is called The Richest People in the World, and you can get it and everything Death by Roses at our website, deathbyroses.com. But, I mean, we're just having so much fun. We have Death by Roses wine.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, yeah. No,
I
you
haven't
can get
been to your site. I've got to get back to
You can get it at Water to Wine in Brookfield. We have five character wines. We have tea. I mean, whatever we can think of. We've got a I've got my Death by Roses t-shirt on today. I mean, we're big into this story.
Now the Death by Roses t-shirt is not look like the cover of the book, is it?
Oh no. Thank you for saying that. I don't know if you want to tell the listeners about the cover or if we should make them go find it.
Well,
but isn't that just a trip?
It involves the parts of the body and flowers and...
the lower parts.
And a commode.
Yes, yes.
And some tile.
I'll tell you, we had five book covers made, and then we just surveyed people, and we asked them which one would make you buy this book, and that book cover won like 80%. So it wasn't a personal quest. It was a what is going to get people to pick this book up and read it.
Oh, and the sales of the book have been going well, I assume.
Yes, yes. We're just so thrilled. In fact, I'm going to be with the New York agents this coming Saturday. The When Words Count Retreat is releasing their fourth trifecta, which means now they're going to announce the winner of their fourth novel or book, and I'm going to be there to just celebrate with them, so we'll get to see everybody there and catch up on what's going on with Death by Roses.
And there's a financial reward that goes along with this is considerable.
Yes, it is. The value of, can we just say, how do you value winning a reward like this, an award, valued about $200,000. And, well, what can I say? What can I say?
it's unbelievable. It's just got to be like a dream.
Well, it is so much a dream coming true. And in case your listeners are interested, we do have other books coming out. I'm working on the sequel, which, I don't know. It's called Death by Violets. And now I have people offering me all kinds of titles. So Death by Violets is showing up, and so I'm beginning to work on that.
You can go through the whole flower
I know.
Horticultural.
I'm going to have to live a long time, but we're having a lot of fun.
So you're working on that right now?
Yes. Yep. Well, whenever the muse says it's time to write.
How do you write, by the way? Do you have a set time you get up in the morning and write, or what do you do?
Well, I'm pretty flexible. I do love to write in the morning, but I write whenever content shows up. I do some writing at night after my husband's asleep. He knows if I'm not in bed. He knows where I am. He knows what I'm doing. And I sometimes I write at the office. I do have my own company, so it's okay for me to write at the office.
Yeah.
And airplanes, hotels, anywhere where there's some time and I get the nudge.
I want to go back to this whole thing about a marriage, a life well lived, and maybe regret. I think the book would cause many people to take a look at their own lives and talk to you about it.
Yeah, and the thing is to regret nothing. Spend as little time regretting as you possibly can. Larry, I got stuff. We all got stuff. You know? And to just stay okay now. Now, I'm just going to choose the best outcome I can possibly imagine for my life, for my relationship in this moment. How can I make this moment wonderful? And that's all we can do, because I'll tell you, the regret can just, it'll take you down. It's like an ocean wave. And if we spend too much time there, we just never recover. It's like, wait, let me focus on now and what the future is as much as possible.
You know, I don't want to say how or who or how, but several characters end up with a partner who's good for them, but not one that they would necessarily know to look for.
Yes, it's true. May I just take a moment? Yes, I need a moment. Yes, it's so true that there are so many relationships in this story and so many characters that intertwine themselves in the most unusual ways, and it ends up well for them, most of them. And we have some very damaged people in this book.
Yeah.
And I was terrified writing it because I didn't know what was going to happen to some of them. And it was like, I don't want to write this. But then the muse would just say, just write it, Vivian. Just write down. And Larry, I blushed when I was writing this story because there's some stuff in there, you know.
Yeah. Anne has a question, I think. Anne, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, hello. Really enjoying this interview with the author. I would love to hear you talk about the editing process that you went through with your book.
Ah.
Oh, let me just tell you what a complete joy that was. I understood why Select Books out of New York became the publisher, because Nancy Sugihara was the editor, and this is a wonderful publishing company, and they usually do nonfiction, but this is like nonfiction inside of fiction. And now I will tell you, there were some difficult conversations, mostly about punctuation, because I'm strongly opinionated. But Nancy, she took this, I say it's like having a piece of furniture that, you know, it's roughed out and then it needs to be, sanded and polished. And that's what Nancy did. I loved the editing process. I loved it.
Thank you so much, Anne, for calling in. I tell you, Vivian, thank you so much. I was so wonderful to be able to talk with you today. And I know the book is doing well. And, when Death by Violets comes around, you and I'll have to talk again.
Yeah, let's do it. And I just want everyone to know that I love doing book clubs. I love talking to anyone about this story because it was a gift to me. And I think it's a gift to the readers as well. Thank you so much, Larry.
Deathbyroses.com?
You got it.
Deathbyroses.com. The author is Vivian Probst. What a great time talking with her, and we'll have her back. That new book comes out. We'll visit with her again. And certainly thank you so much for listening in today. And as always, more shows coming up tomorrow. Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the UW School of Veterinary Medicine will be our guest to talk about your pet's health. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.